Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
My name is Sheila White. I am the president and co-founder of Her Cries Are Heard, an organization that focuses on preventing violence against females. One in three women have been victims of physical abuse or violence by an intimate partner or non-partner within their lifetime. 94% of women killed by men were murdered by someone they knew. Violence can affect a woman's physical and mental health and also negatively affect her children. In 1991, my sister was murdered by her husband. And in 2013, my niece was murdered by a man who followed her home from a party. Being a victim of violence is devastating to the victim and the victim's family. Help us to help you. Help us to prevent this from happening to you or someone you love. Please look at our website, www.hercriesareheard.org, for the prevention tools and referrals to help save lives.
Hello, and I have a guest on the line. Hello, guest, are you there? Hello, guest. Oh, I guess she didn't get it together yet. Hello, guest, are you there? Okay, well, tonight, like I said, it's open mic night. You can call and talk about anything that's on your mind.
57 South is a user experience design and development shop
located Hello?
In Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in
Anybody?
The communication
Hello?
Field with a long list of satisfied customers.
Hello?
We provide
Jenny,
innovative
you talking about me?
For existing and emerging
yes,
platforms.
Yes, Lucy.
Got a plan?
Can you
we
hear me?
We have a team of talented professionals
it's Lucy.
Help bring it to life.
Lucy?
You can reach
yes.
us at 215
You can hear me?
701-3934. You can visit our
okay.
website.
Okay, well, your mic is
www.57south.com.
No, don't do that because the kids are here.
.com.
We it's
look
already
forward
open.
To kickstarting your next project.
You have to close it because
Thank
the kids
you.
Are here and the baby's
have a great
here.
Day.
But I will be talking.
Okay, so welcome. As I said, this is your night to talk about whatever you would like to talk about.
So you can talk about it. No one knows who you are. There's no need to be afraid. Just go ahead. I see I have another caller on the line. Caller, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. So do you have anything that you would like to get off your chest?
Anything that I'd like to get off my chest, yeah.
Well, you know, like I was saying earlier, we can talk about anything. We can talk about Roseanne and the thing that she tweeted about, and she said that I think it was Ambien that she was taking, which is she's blaming it on the medication that made her tweet what she tweeted, but then Ambien clapped back and said that racism is not a side effect of their medication. I thought
that was very interesting.
Yeah, that was. It was really interesting. So she didn't get by with that one. But, I mean, there are a lot of things. There was the picture of Trump's daughter holding her child. I mean, I just think it was out of place at the time because it was on The View, and they had just finished talking about the children who had been separated from their parents. These people are taking kids away from their parents and then putting them in the system and incarcerating the parents. And then all of a sudden, you have a picture of Ivanka Trump holding her child. That just seemingly was in bad taste to me. Or maybe it was just the time that it came up. I don't know. But that was one of my pet peeves. So did you have anything you wanted to say?
Well, I didn't see the piece with Ivanka.
Oh, you didn't see that picture?
No, but they're trying to get Samantha B., lady that.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Now, tell me this, because they keep alluding to a C word. What was the C word?
I don't know.
Okay.
It was an expletive, and I didn't get the full story on it. I mean, I don't speculate as to what she said.
I didn't either. Everybody was saying the C word, and I can't say it, but I couldn't figure out what that might have been, so oh well.
She was, and so, you know, they were trying to say that she should be fired like Roseanne was fired. But
that's what Trump says. But from what I understand, I'm not trying to cut you off, but what I understand was ABC, whatever station she was on, okayed that. They okayed it and gave it to her, and she said it. So they couldn't very well fire her for doing something that they had wanted her to do.
And the LA
Is that
Times,
the way you got it?
Well, I saw the LA Times had also said that you can't compare something said in bad taste to a racist rant from a white woman comparing a black woman to an ape, you know, or, you know, calling a Jewish person a Nazi. So they pretty much said that you can't compare two things together. So I thought that was pretty accurate. Response.
But you know, she said she didn't know that. What was her name? Valerie Jarrett? Well, whoever the lady was, she claimed she didn't know she was black. But they were saying that Roseanne had done something similar to that in 2013. So, you know, the only thing that really got my attention was the fact that she let a whole bunch of people down And if they, you know, were on a number one show and they thought they were, you know, one, two, three, ready to roll, and went out and did a lot of, I don't know, spending for houses, cars, whatever, and then all of a sudden that number one show has been dropped. But the lady, from what I understand, who signs her checks was black.
Yeah, the president of ABC is a black woman.
Right. So how didn't she know that she was not supposed to do that?
Well, I mean, she is who she is. She didn't care.
Well, she sees what not caring has gotten her, because a lot of people are saying that her career is just over. It's just over.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll still be out there on the comedy circuit from time to time. She was an avid Trump supporter, so.
Yes. Well, he'll probably give her a job. He has a job in his administration that will fit her, just like those other jobs fit all those other people that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't think she wants a job. I don't think she needs a job. She's that much.
She doesn't, but, you know, now she's hardening in everybody.
Well, he's just preparing for these indictments and convictions that's going to come down the pike.
So he can pardon them, too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of crazy to me. Now, explain to me how he can pardon Martha Smith. Martha Stewart, I'm sorry. Yeah. She has done her time. How does that work?
Well, you know, it's like exonerating the crime or wiping it off the books. That's just like he.
Oh, okay.
It's like he pardoned Jack Johnson, the boxer from back in 1910, the black man. That was
okay,
the first pardon.
Okay, so he can just knock people off the books. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
It's like you've never done it before, right?
Right. Yeah, and Jack Johnson was a heavyweight champion at the time.
Is he black?
Super black. He was dark black.
Okay.
And he was known for going with white women back in the 1910s. And so, you know, the white man didn't like that. So,
well, I wonder why he's pardoning him, though.
Well, I think that, you know, it's a method to his madness. They said that they said Obama had considered it, but they, based on his reputation of abusing women, of beating women, decided against it. So, you know, Trump tries to do everything that Obama did do or undo everything that he did.
He is jealous of that man.
But they created some legislation called the Mann Act. Jack Johnson was one of the first people that was convicted of it, which was basically saying that it was about interstate prostitution and a way to convict white slave traffic. It's the Mann Act. It's also called White Slave Traffic Act of 1910. It was to regulate interstate and foreign commerce by prohibiting the transportation for immoral purposes of women and girls. So basically, they were trying to prevent black men from messing with white women. So once Jack Johnson was convicted of that, he went and started touring around Europe and fighting in Cuba and other places, and eventually came back home, turned himself in. But he had white women. They said he had two black women. One of them ran off with a friend of his, and so he swore off the black women. And after that, and just started going with white women. But there were several people that were convicted under the man that one of them was Chuck Berry, the singer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, was accused of having, I think, a 16-year-old girlfriend that was hanging out with him. And let me see, there were some other people that were Chuck Berry was one. Let's see. Jack Johnson was the first one. And I'm trying to think if there were any other people that would be recognized.
That surprises me that he would pardon a black guy. It really does. So I don't know what his motivation is. Maybe he's just trying to throw us off track. Everybody knows he's racist. So.
Well, you know, you're always trying to control the
narrative, number one. Oh, yeah. But you know what he said. Someone asked him, why did he always say that he was fake? And
he fading away a little bit.
Huh? Okay. Why does he always say that the news is fake news? And he was saying that. He says that because whenever people say something bad or negative about him, so they won't believe it. So now all of a sudden, these news outlets, most of the things that they print, people have started not to believe them now.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just don't know how this is going. I wish, my thought is I wish Mueller would hurry up and finish. It's been over a year now. And I don't know if he's gotten closer to Trump, but I know Trump feels the heat. And
Finished. Well, that's the same thing Trump said.
Yeah, because he tired of being. He doesn't know when the shoe's going to fall.
He doesn't know when it's going
to fall. And what he does is he keeps people, you know, distracted by something else is happening today. And no one is thinking about what's going on, you know. So I guess the North Korean conference is on again. I don't know. It's on again, it's off again. But I think he tweeted and said it was on again. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm just wondering. All these women have come out with, you know, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did that. And the only person I know that has really gone to court and been convicted is Bill Cosby. And I want to know why is that. Because there's a whole lot of names. Matt Lauer, Harvey Weinstein. I mean, what's going on with all of that?
Well,
But no, they quick and in a hurry grabbed Bill Cosby and took him to court. And now they're going to give an 80-year-old man, what, 30 years?
Who knows? Who knows what his sentence will be? But yeah, back
well,
to that
man.
What
they...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me tell you a couple of names about the people that were convicted of the Mann Act. Jack Johnson was convicted in 1913 in October.
Okay, first, could you explain to the listeners what the Mann Act is or was?
Okay, well, it still is. It's also called the White Slave Traffic Act or the Mann Act. It's a United States federal law passed in June 25th, 1910. It's named after Congressman James Robert Mann of Illinois, and in its original form, made it a felony to engage in interstate or foreign commerce, transport of any woman or girl for the purpose of prostitution or debauchery, or for any other immoral purpose. Its primary stated intent was to address prostitution, immorality, and human trafficking, particularly where trafficking was for the purpose of prostitution. This is one of several acts of protective legislation aimed at moral reform during the progressive era. In practice, its ambiguous language about immorality has resulted in it being used to criminalize even consensual sexual behavior between adults. And so it was also...
So what was the year on that again?
June 25th, 1910.
Whoa.
They
said it's still in effect?
Yeah, it's still on the books. It's been amended a few times. Let's see. It shows where... it was also used, it was two men that were married, I think, in Washington State, and they took their girlfriends to Vegas. Their wives called the police and had them arrested because they were committing adultery. So abused, it says. The Mann Act also became a form of blackmail by wives who were suspicious of cheating husbands or other women. This was the case.
Is it two ends or one, Mace?
Two ends. Said this was the case for both Lou Caminiti and Mari Diggs. Both men from Sacramento, California, were married and took their mistresses, Lola Norris and Marsha Warrington, to Reno, Nevada. The men's wives contacted the police, and the men were arrested in Reno and found guilty under the Mann Act.
Wow. Wow.
So some people...
So it still stands.
Yeah, they cleaned up the language a little bit in some of the amendments, but it's still on the book. Chuck Berry in 1962 was convicted in January 1962. Berry was sentenced to 3 years in prison for offenses under the Mann Act when he had transported a 14-year-old girl across state lines. Charles Manson in 1960, his charges were dropped. Manson took two prostitutes from California to... Yeah, they dropped him. Manson took two prostitutes from California to New York, to New Mexico to work. Charlie Chaplin, in 1944, was acquitted. Charlie Chaplin met Joanne Berry, age 24, in 1941. He signed her to a $75 a week contract for a film he was putting together, and she became his mistress. By the summer of 1942, Chaplin let her contract expire. To send her home, Chaplin paid her train fare to New York, which led to his arrest. He was acquitted of the charges. Franklin Lloyd Wright, 1926, his charges were dropped. In October 1926, Wright and Olga Lazovich Hindenburg was accused of violating the Mann Act He was arrested in Minnetonka, Minnesota. So it's pretty interesting statute that.
Yeah, I'm sure my listeners are really interested in that.
Yeah. So, have you ever heard of the Bilderberger Group? The Bilderberg Group?
No.
Well, that, the Bilderberg Group is an organization. It's one of, it's a secret organization. There are a number of secret organizations that people have, organizations have. But this particular group has an annual private conference of 120 to 150 people of the European and North American political elite, experts from industry, finance, academia, and the media. And it was established in 1954 by Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands. And these titans of industry meet in secret. And their members they don't publish their members. The media can't report on this. They even have people that own or are associated with media companies, but they can't report on what they talk about. And they help to establish policy around the world. And part of this is the Bilderberg Group is part of helping to create one world order, a new world order where everybody is ruled by one system. And so they were saying that, and there are YouTube videos on this as well, that will kind of blow your mind when you
is it a secret organization if they have YouTube videos?
Well, they have people that are talking about it. I mean, you know, not necessarily, they're not having, it's not the people that's in the group that are on the videos, but there are some pictures, but there are people that are talking about the group, and some of the people that have attended and some of the people that are attending this year's, Obama was there in 2008 when he was a senator, him and Hillary Clinton. And what it does, it explains some things that presidents and some legislation and some decisions regarding war that has come about that may not, we may not understand what the purpose was, but once you have a better understanding of the Bilderberg Group and some of the policies that they created in the bigger picture, things, a lot of things start to become a lot clearer. And once I found out that Senator Obama attended, and so did Governor Bill Clinton before he was elected president. These attending these meetings and being affiliated with this organization has helped the political career of a number of people, as well as helping them to become presidents. And so once you get to that level, you owe a lot of people favors. And I think, because I could never understand why Muammar Gaddafi in Libya was murdered. I know, they murdered Saddam Hussein and told that lie about weapons of mass destruction. And the same thing was done with Gaddafi. Hillary Clinton ordered that because she was the Secretary of State at the time. And on the Obama administration, and they said that Gaddafi was in the process of changing the currency that his country was using and base it on a gold tender as opposed to legal tender that the paper money is currently backed on. It's backed on a promise, an IOU, whereas it used to be, money used to be backed by silver or gold, but most of it's not backed by that any longer. So because of the gold reserves that they had in Africa and Libya, Gaddafi rule said that he was in the process of changing the currency, which would have bankrupt a lot of the money around the world, the American money and a lot of the money in Europe. So they said that that's one of the reasons why he was murdered.
Well, you know what? I found out today, just standing in line at the post office, that there's an organization, and I don't think it was something about man. I don't necessarily think it's the same one that you were speaking of, but this one had to do with adult men and boys, you know. And I, you know, it's so much stuff going on in the world that we are really oblivious of. We don't know the things that really, really go on, especially in politics, because you have all these lobbyists and, you know, they get paid a lot of money and they spread a lot of money out. Well, having been, you know, said that, what I'm going to do is take another commercial and we shall return.
Broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Autism affects 1 in 68 children, sweeping all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. Autism is a lifelong brain disorder that leads to untold challenges to the physical, financial, and social well-being of people with autism and their families. Resources are stretched thin. The Autism Alliance of Michigan, a collective voice for families across the entire state, uses resources to help families battle challenges right here, right now. If you or anyone you know needs help navigating the autism journey, contact the Autism Alliance of Michigan today, 877-463-AAOM, or visit them online at aaomi.org.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your local insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know? If you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, so thank you for tuning in to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight is open mic night. You may talk about anything that you like that's weighing on your soul. Anything, school shootings, the president's daughter and her picture. You can talk about Roseanne. You can talk about whatever you like. And right now we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
And hello, how are you this evening?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Just fine. One thing has been weighing on my heart. I was listening to the former the caller before you. I came up just for the commercial, and there was one thing that I saw that really alarmed me. It came over on Facebook about the problem that Maxine Waters, the Democrat from California, was having when she was trying to say her what she had to say about something they were talking about. It sounded like they were talking about how the auto companies have been practicing racial practices as far as giving interest rates and loans to people, and they were targeted to the African American and Hispanic and other groups, and giving them a hard time other than for the white people. They always got the best, but when it came down to the African American or other what they call substandard, or they would give them higher loans and things of that nature. And so they had
with
set
higher
up a fund.
Interest rates, I'm sure.
Yeah, higher interest rates. Yeah. So they would, when she was trying to talk about it, this one congressman was talking about it, and then Maxine Waters had the floor, and she was talking about the racial practices and things of that nature. This man cuts in, and he says, "Listen," he said he was tired of one of the Congress people. He was tired of hearing about racial practices. Our president is trying to make America great again by bringing people together, and he felt that talking about the racism and things of that nature was only dividing the country. And so then when Maxine started to talk, he had his say, and the Speaker of the House, or the one over the meeting, didn't say anything. But then when she started to talk, he said, "Hey, I want you to take all your comments and aim it toward the floor, or towards, not to each other, so to speak." And so she said, "Wait a minute, sir." And she kept talking to the gentleman. She said, "Yes, I know about racism and things like this." And she was expressing herself. But what happened was, it turned around that the Speaker of the House or whatever, he said, "Listen, I said talk to the floor." She said, "Yes, but you let this man say what he had to say, and you did not stop him. So you're not going to stop me either. I'm going to say what I have to say." She said, me as a black woman, I know what racism and discrimination is, and I know all this, and it's going on. And we're not trying to divide the country. The country is being divided by your president." And that's what she was saying. And he kept telling her, "No, you don't talk to him. Talk to me." She says, "But you didn't stop him. So why are you trying to stop me from saying to him what he said to me? Yes, I'm addressing it to the floor, but also to him too, because you didn't do it for him. So why are you doing it to me, you know?" And so, after she had said what she said, I guess the man, I don't know what happened after that. But then if you want to look at it, you can see it on YouTube. But then there was another, it was on YouTube, when I was looking at it, right underneath it was a brother that I guess he was trying to talk about what happened to her. And then listen to the brother talk about what happened to her with his way of saying it. He said, "Listen, why is Maxine Waters saying all this? You see, why is she, and he referred to her as being, and it was really painful. He said, "She sounds like she's trying to be a poverty pimp." And that's what he called her. And I said, "What does it mean? What this woman is being badgered, trying to do her job in Congress. She's being badgered in every way. The president made fun of, I believe that was the one, he made fun of her hair and things like that.
Yes,
she still has to do a job." And then he pointed out, this brother pointed out, he said, "Well, she's worth about $4.8 million. So is she being a poverty pimp just to, to bring out our problems? But somebody's giving her something." That's what he was saying. Well, I said, why would he attack this woman? She's being attacked on all ends. And I don't care what she has. If what she has is nothing compared to what all those other congressmen have, and are receiving too. In fact, the man who was talking to her so nasty, we know as far as our president is concerned, they haven't added up his assets and his taxes or anything yet. And that was a part of the pre-election, that we should have had that information. But nothing has happened. But here it is, a brother saying this about this black woman who's trying to stand up for the needs of the black community, and she's considered being divisive, being racist, and things of that nature. Excuse me, I have the children here tonight. And it was ugly what he had to say. I said, what is the... Go ahead.
Okay, well, when did we ever stand up for each other? Tell me that.
And then I was offended, too. She was trying to say it, and this man kept saying things to her. And then, like, the man who was over the congressperson who was over the meeting, I felt really funny, maybe, that none of the black men there who are Democrats ever stood up and said, wait a minute, this is what has happened, so this is the way it should be. They never came together at all. And here it is, this woman standing there trying to fight for herself, for the black community, and then to turn around and to hear this man who was on YouTube also call her a poverty pimp. In other words, she's living off the our pain. She's making money off of our pain. You know, and it was to me, it was heartbreaking. If we're to ever get anything done, we're going to have to, you know, at least give each other a certain amount of respect as black people, you know. But when he referred to her, I said, wait a minute. You know, it was painful to me that she's taking all these blows. And, you know, as far as our president, I think she was the one that he was making fun of her hair and her brain, if I'm not mistaken.
And, you know,
so many ugly things.
I often wonder that this man is 70 years old and he behaves like a 10-year-old.
A 2-year-old. Yeah.
I mean, how do you talk about people's hair and stuff like what? How old is he? He doesn't behave like an adult. He really doesn't. And he's brought the racism to the forefront. It was always there now. Don't ever think it was gone.
Yes.
But it was lying under the surface. But once he started saying everything he wants to say, other people think they can do that too. And
they're
as
letting
far as
him
his taxes, we may never see his taxes, but Congress doesn't care as long as he builds the wall and keeps black and brown people out of the country.
Or any other people who are non-white, yes, out of the country.
Yeah.
Everyone has to prove themselves but the established, but the more accepted or dominant race, and this is not right. You know, it is dividing the country. You know, to tell you, you have to come together within your own group and fight for your own rights and things of that nature. Here she is standing there.
Sometimes, you know what? You have to stand up even if you're standing alone.
By yourself. And she was
standing alone, if I'm right. If I have something to say, I'm going to say it. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to pray about it and make sure I'm doing the right thing. And when I get confirmation, then I'm going for it, you know. But people are afraid to be attacked, you know. That doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
People are afraid. They don't want to be on the wrong side of anything. But sometimes you do have to stand up, and you're going to do it by yourself.
That is true.
But you have to still stand.
And she did
you
that.
You have to stand. How do you feel about
to be
yourself
in the back
if you
the
knew?
Or thrown
knew
under
could...
the bus by this man.
Yeah,
you know,
but how would you feel if you were able to say something or to do something to help someone else, and because of, well, maybe they looking at me funny, and maybe they're not going to be my friend anymore.
Well, they're not
because
going to be your friend.
Stuff
they're going
like
to look
that.
At you funny.
How do you feel? And you let this person... I mean, it's like somebody might, you know, God might have put them in your way so you could say something to them to bring them to him. But because somebody else is listening or some, you know, what other thing, you don't say it and the person dies and go to hell. So do you think that's on you?
When you look at it, I remember seeing a court case, a woman talking about, she was on a jury. It was in the South. And this man, this black man, was accused of killing a prostitute. And she was talking about how how she was on the jury, and she didn't agree that the man was guilty. and stuff. And so the people, it was coming toward Mother's Day or something like that, and they were deliberating. And so she didn't agree with it, and but they went on. They were tired of deliberating. And so what they did was they went out and they told the judge that they had all come to agreement and the man was guilty. And the man was put to death. And she said she never said that he was guilty. But when the judge asked all of them, when the man stood up and said, yes, this is all, well, we all agree to this, so all the rest were white, she did not get up to say, no, I didn't agree with that. And this man was put to death because of that. She said,
and
but what could you know,
they
just
found out
person.
He was innocent?
No, that didn't come up whether he was innocent or what. But she said, I didn't agree with because I didn't like, you know, no, I didn't feel that he was. She felt that he shouldn't be, you know, that he was guilty. But she didn't stand up for what she said. And
but
I think it bothers
what?
Her even
and
now.
She has to think, she has to, right, she has to live with that decision for the rest of her life because she didn't stand up.
She did not stand.
So, I mean, even if you have to stand alone, I believe, that's my belief, and that is what I do.
Yeah.
I believe that you have to stand up if you're in the right. I don't care what they say about you, because people going to talk about you till you die, and then they might
that's
talk
true.
About you after you're dead. You
true.
Know
that
so-and-so
that
dad.
But when she was talking, the lady was talking, it seemed like it was bothering her even now. That man was put to death.
I bet it does bother her because if she didn't, that was too important. If she didn't stand up and said, excuse me, I didn't say he was guilty. I held out. I mean, you know, I'm sure that does bother her.
Yes,
so
it does.
I don't know. Mace, what do you think?
Well, you know, I agree with what you guys are saying. You know, in regards to the situation, we're sitting here going through this computer while you all are debating.
No, we're just talking about Maxine Waters. I surely hope that she does not get tired of the abuse and quit. I really hope that
no.
she doesn't do that because we need her.
Well, she's not a quitter. I mean, you know, that would be against everything she stands for to quit because, you know, she's getting some heat from the majority white men in Congress. And so she knows it wouldn't do any good. It wouldn't stop anything if she's not in a position where she can make a change by quitting. So that's not even an option. But, you know, it's just calling things out for what they are.
But you know what? The only people I see calling things out in Congress is black. Well, what's her name is not black. This Harris lady from the Senator
Tamala,
from California.
Tamala.
Yeah,
she's
good.
Is black.
No, I was. It's another. What is that woman's name? The one that was in there. She's very vocal. Very, extremely vocal.
Well, black lady, white lady?
No, she's white.
Diane Feinstein?
No.
Is the name Warren?
Yes. Elizabeth Warren. Girlfriend.
They told her they didn't want to hear it.
Yes, she is bad. Warren, Harris, and Waters. Those are the only three people I see standing up, and they are women. Where are the men? Where are the men? What is it with the men?
They won't make way. You know, why should they, you know? But it was ugly.
What is wrong with our men, though? What is wrong with our men?
They're not going to say anything.
They are voiceless. You know,
Cory Booker, you know, has stood up.
Okay,
and
Cory Booker, he's a good one, yeah.
I mean, there ain't but a handful of black people up there anyway, you know. So,
well,
you know,
that's true. But then you have some that voted for Trump. I know one who shall remain nameless.
Well, you might as well call him out. They got to remain nameless. Just call him out. We call him by name.
Yeah, I called him by name too. my
Well, you know, to kind of change the subject, just a little bit. I've been doing some studying.
Here, the men are going after you for something, but they won't stand for you when you stand for right.
we do have some strong brothers out here, but you know, like I said, I've been doing a little, reading and studying, and some things have been, revealing themselves to me in regards to some history of ours, because they said, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. And so, I've been going back, and one of the things that I was covering was lynching era, lynching in America, targeting black veterans. There was a time back when veterans coming back from World War One and World War Two, were being lynched if they were caught wearing a uniform. And one of the things was, especially down south, was the fact that they, the white establishment didn't want the black men coming back thinking that they had equal rights here in America. We got these Jim Crow laws, and y'all need, you Negroes need to come back and fall back into place. And so, there was a lot of, at the end of the Civil War, it said marked a new era of racial terror and violence directed at black people in the United States. Following the emancipation in 1865, thousands of free black men and women and children were killed by white mobs, former slave owners, and members of the Confederacy who were unwilling to accept the anticipated end of slavery and racial subordination.
That is true.
Oh, yeah, the violent response to freedom for former slaves was followed by decades of racial terror, lynchings, and targeted violence designed to sustain white supremacy and racial hierarchy. And there were several stories of soldiers who, across the country, had been targeted and killed just because they were servicemen. It was just something that I was unaware of, that, black men had been targeted, after they came back from the war.
Well, the Vietnam veterans didn't get a parade, as this guy was on The View, black guy was on The View, and they were talking to him in the commercial. And when they came back on, they said that he had said when he got back from Vietnam that he didn't get a parade. So what they did, everybody that was sitting at the table came down and they paraded in front of him and hugged him and everything. And, it just brought tears to his eyes. And they said, we gave you a parade. So I thought that was really, really nice, because they didn't have to do that.
I remember, and I think I might have said this before, from the Vietnam War, he got the CMH, the Congressional Medal of Honor, by Johnson, President Johnson. I think his name was Dwight Johnson from Detroit. And here he saved his platoon. When they got back, they checked him for it. He was on drugs and things of that nature. He wasn't. So they had this big ceremony for him, gave him this Congressional Medal of Honor and things of that nature. But then if something happened when he was here in Detroit, got back home, they wouldn't give him the money he needed in order to live. But something happened. And he ended up trying to rob a store, and he got shot and killed here. trying because he had me. This is what's been happening, you know. And I remember that. Excuse me. And I was looking a couple of months ago on Memorial Television, where they Merv Griffin had the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on, and he was talking about the Vietnam War, that he felt that it was wrong that when the Vietnamese got rid of the French, they wanted to establish a constitution like we have, the freedoms and things that we have. And here we are coming in to try to subservient these people again and things of that nature. And he pointed out that I think that during that time, we might have been 11% of the population here in the United States or something like that, if I'm not getting it wrong. But from Vietnam, we had a casualty of at least 22%, the black people, 22%. Mm. And Dr. Martin Luther King pointed that out. I said, what? I couldn't believe it. I said, 22% for the Vietnam War, and I knew a couple of the friends that I went to school with, they were killed there. But 22%
Didn't they say with this last shooting in school that it's been more killing in the school system now than it's been in the war?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow.
That's some different killing, yeah. That is. That really is.
That can be, something can be done about that.
But do they want to do something about it?
No, they don't, because the NRA, with all that money they throw around, you know, everybody got their hand out. And they act as if they're afraid of the NRA, too. So, you know, like I said, with you talking about the organizations, we don't know what's what, who's who. We don't know what's going on. Trump said, I can stand in the middle of the street and shoot somebody.
and he was doing time.
And the way he's going, you know what? I'm beginning to believe him.
That is true. Yeah, I understand.
Because he hasn't followed anything that the presidents were supposed to do. He has not followed any rule.
No, he hasn't.
He came in under his own terms, and he's doing everything.
It's the evangelical Christian that's supporting him in that. They consider him the
lesser.
And
you know what? That's what I can't understand. But it's a lot of the black evangelicals that have left. They have left because they were on Reverend Sharpton's show one Sunday. One of them was on. He said, oh, no, a lot of us have left because of his, you know, what he does. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Everybody's not behind him. Someone has a little one who's unhappy.
Yes, he's
very unhappy.
Yeah, so thanks so much. But it was really a lot.
Okay, well, let's talk about Roseanne. What do you think about that?
I was listening to Steve Harvey earlier this morning, and some of the comments he made, I couldn't concentrate on that much either because the little one was in the car with me. But he was saying that that's not the first time remarks have been made by her.
Right.
That inappropriate remarks had been made by her, and so I didn't follow that as closely as I should have,
I guess she's more like Trump than we realize, because she says what she wants to say, and she has no regard for others. She has put a lot of people out of work.
Oh yeah.
She has put a lot of other people out of work. So she came back and she apologized to the people, but that doesn't put money in their pockets.
No, it doesn't. But let me attend to the little one. But thanks so much for allowing me to speak my mind.
Oh, well, you know what? I appreciate you. I really do.
And
all
so
your
much.
Comments. And I know you like Maxine Waters, and you don't want her abused, and neither do I.
No.
So we might have to march. We might have to march up there and get somebody.
Tell me about it. But it was. I couldn't believe that they were just. and they weren't being nice about it. They weren't being professional, handling the professional manner. It was very ugly.
Well, the one thing about Maxine Waters is she can take care of herself, and she knows the law, and she knows what she can do and say and what she can't, and she stands up for what she believes in. So my hat goes off to her.
Tell me about it. Thanks so much.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And anyone else who has a comment that you'd like to get off your chest or something you'd like to say, is there someone you'd like to apologize to? You said something that you shouldn't have and you need to get that off your chest? Just press the 1 and you'll be streaming live. So in the meantime, we're going to take a break.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Find me at CarlaCook.com. Remember, that's Cook with an E. And follow my Facebook page at The Carla Cook. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at The Carla Cook. I hope to see you soon on stage in a city near you.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills, over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email AODBYLUZ@gmail.com or call.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight is open mic, and you, my listeners, may press the 1 if you would like to talk about any issue that concerns you. There's no need to be afraid because no one's going to know who you are. So if you have something that you'd like to say, you want to talk about something, I mean, you know, whether it's football, baseball. Now, I don't understand any of those. So only thing I know is that there's a man, and his name is Patricia. His last name is Patricia. I guess he has 2 first names. But anyway, someone had made a complaint about him from way back, some years. I don't know how long. But I think it's the Lions that said that they weren't going to fire him or do anything about what the woman said. Because, number one, it's been so long ago, and number two, he wasn't with them when it happened. So, I don't know. I'd like to get,
the men who are listening. I'd like to get their opinion. What do you think about that in this Me Too movement that we're in right now? Because the first thing that comes to my mind is Bill Cosby. Now they have yanked him and put him in jail, and he's supposedly gotten 30 years, and he's an 80-year-old man. But this, whatever happened, was years ago. And there was a lady on television today, and I listened to her, and I don't remember, I don't recall what show she was on, and she said that he showed her some, I think it was blue pills or something. And she was saying, you know, that I guess she didn't feel well, and he told her to take the pills. And she said, well, you know, what kind? Is it natural? And, you know, what will it do? Make me feel better, whatever. And he said, yeah, it'll make you feel better. So she took it. Now, mind you, he didn't make her take it, but she took it. And she said the next thing she remembers is that he had put her on a sofa and he was assaulting her. And my thing, again, is I'm not understanding something. These people are not explaining stuff to me, because I don't know how someone can get away with one thing. Well, yes, I do. Because Mr. Patricia is white and Mr. Cosby is black. And doesn't matter what goes on, you are still black. You're living while black. You can't go into a Starbucks and sit down and wait for your friend to come. You can't go in there to use the bathroom, although they close up their stores for an hour to train their employees on how to treat black and brown people. Now anybody can go into Starbucks and use the bathroom. You don't have to buy a thing. Just go in there and use the bathroom. Or you can go to sleep in library or wherever the young lady was, and somebody will call the cops. Why can't you walk over and say, excuse me, are you okay? But no, you got to call the police. Or people are barbecuing and you got to call the cops, because black folks in the park barbecuing. I mean, we're trying to live while we're black. That's the only thing we can do. We have to drive while black. We have to use the bathroom while we're black. We have to sleep while we're black. But evidently, people of a different color don't understand that. And they don't get the hassle that we do. Now, when the cops pull up to a young boy because somebody called the cops and said, there's somebody in the park playing with a gun, and they walk up and see this little black child with a toy gun in his hand, and they shoot and kill him. A child, you tell me a grown man cannot get a gun out of a kid's hand to kill him? You know, it's something really, really wrong with our society. It's really, really wrong. If you have to shoot a kid playing with a toy gun. Now, I don't know where his mama was or his dad was, but, you know, I don't know. that doesn't mean that he had to be killed just because he was playing with a gun by himself. So I don't know. It's just, well, my opinion is that it will not change until Christ comes back. That's my opinion. So now if someone else has another opinion, you press the one button and let me know what you think. But that's my thoughts, because it is so deeply ingrained in people. And some of the kids that are, you know, growing up, they don't ascribe to that, but then some of them have grown up in that environment. And they, you know, that's all they know because that's all they've been taught is racism. And if I'm not mistaken, I think, maybe I am, but I think my younger son told me that he didn't experience racism until he went to college. So if that was not the true statement, then maybe he will let me know. But I mean, you know, they just look at us, you know, and think we're less than human. Just like we can change our skin color. One thing for sure, I wouldn't change mine. Not my skin color nor my gender. But those are my opinions. So if someone else has a different opinion, they can press the one. If not, we will be back.
Fifty-seven South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
Magnify His name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify His name.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit, but not known how? The answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit, with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. This has been open mic night, and I think we had a great conversation. If someone else would like to say something before we go, you're welcome. because what I'm going to do is I think we're out of time. So I'm going to close with this. 20 years from now, you'll be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones you did. So throw off the bowline, sail away from safe harbor. The trade winds in your sails. Explore, dream, discover. And who said that? Mark Twain. And whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. So that was Napoleon Hill. So that's what I would like to leave you guys with. So dream big, people, and believe it. Believe that you can do it, because whatever you believe, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. You're right. And I'd like to say I thank you, all my listeners who called in. I thank those of you that made comments, and those that called in and didn't. I appreciate you as well. So what I'd like to say is, this is Jenny White saying thank you and good night.